So you can see we had a pretty great time at camp this week. Not just pies in the face. I have to admit, like, everything looks cloudy and milky to me right now. Like, you all look different. So it was a really great week at camp. And I just want to do a huge thank you to all the different people that helped make this awesome. We had first aid volunteers and small group volunteers and check-in volunteers and kitchen volunteers and hosts and helpers and support crew and games and just about everything that you can think of, and so many people. And so I just want to say how much I appreciate, like, everyone, from the dancers to the hosts to the people that were in the park. Like, we have an amazing team here. Let's give it up for all of our camp volunteers this year. And also to our campers, we, like, all the campers came with such great attitudes, and everyone was, like, learning and growing and having fun together, and it really was a special week. And so everyone's attitudes were awesome, and we had so much fun doing everything. I mean, how could you not have fun with all that, with the dancing and the pies and the games and the confetti and all that kind of stuff? Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Now, I have to say that it does something weird to your psyche when there's, like, a room full of kids chanting your name. Because that happened to me, but not like I got up here and they were all going, Kevin, Kevin. And it wasn't like they were cheering because they loved me. It was because they wanted to punish me with pie in the face. And so it's like this weird, like, mentally, I'm still trying to process exactly what that does to my self-esteem. Not sure yet. But it was awesome. And across all four of our campuses, here in Alder Grove, in Walnut Grove, in our Yorkson campus, and our new Willowbrook campus, we just had so many kids coming for camp. And it was so great. And Kawasha is a ministry that's really close to my heart. And so, like, we would love, if anyone else today, if you have, like, we can only do cash, but if you want to come throw a little bit more money up here, this is kind of our make it, like, burn. Like, we're adding to the flame. And you can see, like, we have a whole bunch of flames on the window back there. And so as you put more money in, it adds to the flame of Kawasha, which means to light or to illuminate. And so we're growing the fire. So that's what we're doing together. It was a really special week. This, as the ranger said, this isn't a normal service. If you're here visiting today, welcome. We don't normally do pies in the face. We don't normally do dancing. Like, I mean, you can dance in your pews, but, like, we don't normally do dancing on the stage. But this is a great kind of hybrid of what church and camp are like. And most Sundays, we get to share the word, and we get to tell you about something amazing from the Bible. And that's often my job, because my name's Kevin, and I'm one of the pastors here. And we had this awesome theme verse, and we're going to learn some actions to go with this theme verse, but not right now, because I'm not the actions guy. We're going to save this for the end. But our theme verse for this week of camp was from John chapter 13. And it says, I give you a new command. This is Jesus talking. Jesus says, love one another. You must love one another just as I have loved you, just as Jesus has loved us. And we talked about this verse all week long, and we talked about to forgive one another and to serve one another and be kind to one another and to love one another. And Jesus was really good at showing us how to love one another. Like, Jesus is kind of like the embodiment of love, right? Like, if anyone ever knew how to love really well, it was Jesus. And so as we were talking about what it means to love one another like Jesus, at first I was like, that sounds awesome. Like, that's a simple verse. That's, like, something we can all do and understand. But then as I was thinking about how good Jesus was at loving, I actually started to get a little discouraged. I was like, that actually sounds really hard. Like, the bar is really high if I'm supposed to love like Jesus, because he loved better than anyone ever has. So sounding like loving like Jesus can actually be like, how am I supposed to love like Jesus? Like, that seems like a tall order. And so today I want to talk about how this is actually possible. Not by trying harder. It's not by being better or following more rules, but it's about experiencing Jesus' love first and then allowing that love to just kind of spill over and affect other people around us. So today I'm calling the title of our message, Loved to Love, the Zacchaeus Story. And when we realize how much we are loved by Jesus, that empowers us, and Jesus' love just kind of spills out over an overflowing cup, and then that love is shared with other people. It actually frees us to love people with Jesus' love when we realize that we are loved by Jesus first. So I want to tell you a story today, a story about a man named Zacchaeus. Can you guys say Zacchaeus? Is anyone here named Zacchaeus? That would be awesome for No? Okay. All right. So anyway, let me tell you. So a long time ago, Jesus was walking through a city. And a lot of people knew about Jesus because he had been performing miracles and teaching awesome things about the kingdom of God. And so he was getting kind of famous in this area. And so when people heard that Jesus was coming to town, a whole crowd of people wanted to see him pass through the town. So everyone in the community came out to watch Jesus go by. And this is how the story goes. And so we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 9. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man there by the name of Zacchaeus, he was the chief tax collector and was very wealthy. See, in that city, there's this guy named Zacchaeus. And to be honest, no one would have liked Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector. And tax collectors at this time were actually pretty awful people. They would cheat people and force them to pay more money to the government than the government required, and then they would take some for themselves. And they got rich by kind of cheating and stealing from their neighbors, from their family, from their own community. And so tax collectors would get really wealthy by cheating and extorting people in their community. And so they would take that, and they would get quite rich. And so chances are that people in Zacchaeus' community in Jericho, that they knew his name. When Zacchaeus walked through town, people would have been like, I know that guy. But they probably didn't call him Zacchaeus. I think that when he walked by, they would be like, oh, there's that sellout. There's that cheater. There's that traitor. There's that really greedy, selfish, materialistic person. That's the person that no one here loves. That's the person who's insignificant, that's ugly, and I don't want to talk to that person because I reject them because they are a horrible person who does horrible things. And so these are the kind of names and labels that Zacchaeus would have worn. They're the kind of names and labels that people would have called him. And they're the types of names and labels that Zacchaeus would have thought of himself as because he knew what he was doing. Okay, our story continues in verse 3. It says, Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was a short man, he could not see over the crowd. So Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed Jesus in gladly. Now, this is an amazing part of the story. This is the part of the story that's the plot twist that no one would have seen coming, because going to someone's house for dinner is kind of like saying, well, this person's my friend. I accept this person. I love this person. And especially in this time and culture, it meant like you were kind of aligning yourself with that person. So this would have been a shock to people. This was a big deal. Zacchaeus's house, when you think about it, if he was kind of stealing from people and getting really wealthy off the backs of the poor in his community, his home would have been where that wealth was on full display. He would have had a bigger house with luxurious items in his home. Zacchaeus' home actually represents like the pinnacle of his sin, of his brokenness. And Jesus invites himself into Zacchaeus' home. I think that's really beautiful. Like, before Zacchaeus fixes himself, before Zacchaeus repents or does anything, Jesus just invites himself into the spot of Zacchaeus's sin and shame and brokenness. In verse 7, so this is how the people respond. It said, all the people saw this and they began to mutter, Jesus has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Because this didn't compute in people's brains. It didn't make sense. If Jesus is the spiritual leader, if Jesus is teaching us about the kingdom of God and what the kingdom of God is supposed to be like, surely it's not supposed to look like Zacchaeus and what Zacchaeus stands for. And so why is Jesus associating with Zacchaeus? He's selfish and greedy, and he cheats and he steals. Those things are actually supposed to be opposite to the things that we understand about God and that Jesus was teaching. In verse 8, the story goes on. It says, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to Jesus, look, Lord, here now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Ah, I love this. When I was reading the Zacchaeus story this week, it reminded me of another story that maybe some of you have heard of. Has anyone ever seen The Grinch That Stole Christmas? Have you seen this movie now? We're kind of almost as far away from Christmas as we can get in July. But I was thinking about it because, do you remember at the end of the movie, like the Grinch is the bad guy, and at the end of the movie, he kind of sees the Whovilles' love for each other. He observes it, and he has an encounter with someone in the town, and it says that his heart started to grow. His heart started to swell and expand, and it grew. Does anyone remember how much bigger it grew? Three sizes bigger. It grew three times. And at first, at the beginning of the movie, the Grinch is this angry, bitter guy, and he's unloved, and he's rejected, and he lives outside of the community, and he looks down on the people that are in the community, and the people in the community look down on him. And because of this, he doesn't care about stealing and cheating the people of Whoville. But when he experiences the love of those in Whoville, especially Cindy Lou's kindness, his heart swells and it grows and it expands three times. The Grinch, in that story, he brings all the gifts back. And he stands in the community circle singing with the people of Whoville and eating the roast beast and having a meal with the people of Whoville. The Grinch is basically the Zacchaeus story, right? This is basically what Jesus does with Zacchaeus, taking someone who is a cheater, someone who steals, someone who lives in isolation and is rejected, and transforms that person into someone who is generous, who is accepted, who is loved and part of the community, all through sharing a meal together. When Zacchaeus experiences Jesus' love, his response is to love other people. It's not something Zacchaeus feels like he has to do, but it's something that just overflows out of him as he's transformed by Jesus' love. When the Grinch or Zacchaeus experience a great love, they are freed to love back. He was loved to love. The point of our sermon today, loved to love. When talking about this story, I have a friend named Matthew, and he often says that Jesus fed the poor in the city of Jericho by having a meal at Zacchaeus' house. Having dinner with Zacchaeus was the best way Jesus could take care of the poor and the hungry in Jericho. Friends, Jesus' love changes everything for us. Jesus sees Zacchaeus. He sees him in a crowd, and he sees this little rejected man, rejected even by his own people, and he invites himself into Zacchaeus' home and into Zacchaeus' life. This is the major plot twist. He shows love and acceptance, and I love that Jesus just shows love for Zacchaeus before Zacchaeus does anything to deserve it. And the result is that Zacchaeus' heart is changed. It's following Jesus, knowing Jesus isn't about behavior modification. It's about transformed hearts. And so Zacchaeus starts to give generously and make things right, and the love of Jesus overflows through Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus begins to love others because he first experienced the love of Jesus. That's amazing. That's what Jesus offers us. And he doesn't give to the poor out of guilt or obligation. It's not out of penance. It's not out of obligation. He just does it because it's a result and a reflection of the love he's experienced from Jesus. We are loved to love. Each day at camp, we had a big idea, and we've shared some of those. But today's big idea is that you are loved to love. We can love like Jesus only when we know how much Jesus loves us. Only when we're experiencing the love of Jesus in our lives. Because Zacchaeus didn't earn Jesus' love. Jesus just gave it freely. That love transformed him. And it's still transforming us. It transforms me today. Jesus wants to invite himself into whatever mess, into whatever sin, into whatever brokenness you might be experiencing. He wants to come into your house and to eat with you. So I see that today a number of people are wearing name tags. We wear name tags here at Aldergrove a fair bit, and we try and do it, and we want to be known in community, and that's one way. And so just about every Sunday you come in, some of us are wearing name tags. And I was thinking about name tags this week, and I go by the name Kevin, because that's the name my parents gave me. They almost called me Ken. That was almost it, but I'm Kevin, because that's what they decide. And sometimes people will shorten their name. Like, if your name is William, you might go by Will or Bill or something like that. And so sometimes we have names because they're given to us, and sometimes we have names because we've chosen them ourselves, and we identify as those names. And thinking about the Grinch and thinking about Zacchaeus, I have some name tags that I think Zacchaeus would have felt. Now, I'm going to have to put the microphone down here, so I'm just going to kind of yell real loud. But this was his old life. This is the labels, the names that Zacchaeus wore. Every time he walked through Jericho, every time he saw someone, he felt like a cheat. He felt rejected. He felt insignificant and unloved. These are the names and the labels Zacchaeus wore. I want to ask us, what are some of the names or the labels that we carry today? What are some of the things you call yourself? The label that you would put on yourself, or maybe that someone else has given you? Do you sometimes feel like you're too much? Would that be one of your labels? I'm too much. I'm too needy. I'm too loud. I make too many mistakes. Maybe it's a name you've given yourself. Maybe you have a hard time with your anger, and so you're an angry person, and you wear that label. That's how people see you. Maybe you're prideful, or you feel like you have to prove yourself and be independent and self-sufficient, and that's a label that you want to wear. Maybe you feel weak or lazy, or you're a workaholic, or what is the label that you would wear or that someone else might give you? See, these are the labels that we wear, that we walk around with, the way we see ourselves, the way we allow others to see ourselves. But following Jesus changes everything. It starts this new life where being loved by God is our source and our foundation. It's our identity. And we're able to see ourselves not as these labels, but as something else. Zacchaeus was a new person. He was a new creation because he was changed by Jesus' love. Jesus gives us new identity. He puts new labels on us, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done. We go from being broken and whatever these things are that we feel that just make us feel unloved or unworthy. And Jesus comes and says, you are loved, you are worthy, you are beautiful. This is a new way of seeing yourself that allows you to experience the love of Jesus. We are loved to love. We're loved so that we can love others. We're loved so that we can love ourselves because we are completely loved by God himself. I want to invite up the worship team as I close. And I want to invite you. This might be your home church and you might be here every week and that's great. Or maybe you're here sometimes. But if you're new or visiting, I do really want to invite you to join us on a journey that we're going through this summer. This summer, we're in a sermon series here called Alive in Christ. And we're looking through this amazing book in the New Testament called Colossians that's all about this new life we experience when we follow Jesus, a new identity that we experience that covers up and gets rid of the old, dirty parts of us that make us feel rejected, that make us feel isolated. That's what the book of Colossians is all about. It's all about this new life, about being fully alive in Christ. So I want you to know that if you're tired of the labels that maybe you feel like you have to wear, either self-imposed labels or labels that someone else has given you, I want to invite you to journey with us through this beautiful book of what it means to be alive in Christ, to be fully human, to be fully alive. We've been learning that being fully alive, being alive in Christ is not... It's not about following rules better. It's not about trying harder. Again, it's not about behavior modification. It's knowing Jesus' love and letting Jesus' love to surround you and envelop you and give you the freedom and the hope to be fully alive. This is a new way of being. It's a new identity in Christ. Like Zacchaeus, your life can change when you meet Jesus. When you know how much you are loved by Jesus, you can love others just like Jesus, just like Zacchaeus. Friends, you are loved, so you can love. I want to invite you to stand with me. We're going to close with a couple of songs. On Sundays, we often sing songs. We call them worship songs. They're songs that help us express some of our thoughts and heart's desire in following Jesus. So we're going to sing a couple songs right now. I'm going to pray, and then we'll sing a few songs. So Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you love us. Thank you that you shower us in love, that you give us hope, that like Zacchaeus, that you want to fill us with your love so that our love overflows to others. So Lord, help us and show us how to love like you. And Lord, may that start with us just receiving your love. May you fill up the parts of us that feel empty. May you cover up and get rid of the parts of us that we know just make us feel like our hearts are getting smaller and harder like the Grinch. And may you help us to grow our hearts 3 times their size because we are filled with your love. We love you, Jesus. Amen.